LSU fullback, now a radio and TV standout, star down there in Baton Rouge, Jacob Hester. Jacob, you and I were talking off the air. I got to tell you, on my way up, I'm listening. I didn't hear play-by-play of the tennis match yesterday. And when then the announcers immediately, they all started talking about when Djokovic won and started eating grass. Guess who they were referring to? The Les Miles.
The Mad Hatter, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah, Coach Miles, man. He was notorious for it. And, look, he did it way before somebody picked up on it as well. I mean, he would do it, like, at a big practice. He'd get a little taste of the grass there. And I saw it. Didn't get a chance to see it, but I was listening play-by-play on the radio on the drive up, and they said, yeah, he's eating the grass from the court. The first name that came to my mind, obviously, it was Coach Miles. And then it starts blowing up, you know, on the radio and on Twitter. It pulled a Coach Miles.
All right, give us a Les Miles. Was he crazy, or was that just us from the outside looking in?
I love Les, and I told y'all before he came on, I named my fourth son Memphis Miles after Coach Miles, and father figure to me. But look, Les was great. Les was everything that you saw on TV, that was Les in practice.
Would you have enjoyed playing for Ed Orgeron as much as you did Les?
Oh, absolutely. Look, Coach O's energy. I mean, how can you deny that? Look, I was very fortunate. I played for Nick Saban and Les Miles, both championship coaches in college, and to be able to do that was outstanding. But look, Coach O, being from Louisiana, the way that he runs the program, I would absolutely run through a brick wall for him as well.
What do you miss most about Nick Saban, and what do you miss least about playing for Nick Saban?
So I will say least, like, I never had that bad moment. I never had that Nick Saban butt chewing that a lot of people got. Look, if you did things the right way, if you went to class, if you were early, not on time, if you're early for everything, he was going to treat you great. And so I never had that bad moment with him. You know, best moment was he brought me into his car, and so we used to bus over before we had a new facility. We used to bus over to the practice fields. He said, hey, I want you to ride back to the locker room with me. And I'm like, oh god, what did I do? I'm a freshman, I haven't really done anything, I don't go out, I don't do that whole deal. What is he going to say to me? And he's like, hey, I think you're one of the best 30 players on this team, but we're really stacked at running back right now. Would you mind trying to play safety? I never played safety before in my life. He's like, hey, Kirby Smart was the defensive back coach at the time. He's like, he's going to stay with you till midnight every night. We're going to learn this position. And I'm like, man, okay, let's go. I want to play, right, whatever it takes to get on the field. And I was playing both ways my first 2 weeks at LSU. And then, you know, Dwayne Bowe and Buster Davis were first-round picks, and they were the receivers I was having to cover. And after about 2 weeks, Nick's like, yeah, you know that defensive thing? Let's just go back to running back. Let's go back to running back. But he was great about it. And I really appreciated him staying late and trying to teach me, because he wanted me to get on the football field. And he saw that I worked hard, I guess. And he didn't have to spend that time with me. He could have thrown that on somebody else. But I had great memories with Nick. We had a good season that season. Ended up falling short in the bowl game. But I never had the bad Nick story. I never had the one that a lot of people have.
So you went to LSU. You were committed to Texas, right?
Yeah.
What was recruiting like for you now? And when you follow it now and guys coming into LSU and coming into the SEC, right, is it a far different experience for those guys than it was for you?
I think so, because we didn't get really offers until you were, like, into your junior season. I mean, it wasn't this eighth grade, we're going to follow you for 4 years. And the star system had really just started. It wasn't a thing that was big. So, you know, you didn't throw out how many stars you had out there on Twitter. I was only a two-star recruit. I was 795th in the country. I'll never forget it. And it was weird because I had offers from, you know, all the SEC schools, but for whatever reason, I was not a high-rated guy, and I always appreciated it. I was committed to Texas. That was kind of one of my first offers, and I was like, man, get a chance to play at Texas. I didn't know what kind of offers I would have. And then once Nick Saban and LSU came recruiting for a Louisiana guy, like, you're from Louisiana, you go to LSU. That's just the way it is. And I always appreciate it. He didn't dog Texas. He came about saying, you know, here's my plan for you. I know you're committed to Texas. We want to offer you. And really, he was the guy that recruited me. I never talked to Derek Dooley, my position coach at the time. I never talked to Jimbo Fisher. It was only Nick Saban. And so I felt like I had a personal relationship with him and loved my recruiting process. Obviously, ended up going to LSU. But now, man, these kids are getting recruited when they're eighth grade freshmen. They're having to go to all these camps. We didn't do the whole camp tour. We didn't have the open where we had to go, because I'll tell you something, Jacob Hester in the underwear Olympics would not have done real well, right? I was a guy that kind of built myself on playing tough and running in between the tackles. I don't know if you can show that off without pads on, and so I might have ended up in Division II or something if it would have been recruiting these days. But it's a crazy process now, and these kids, man, they're built up so much that you have to kind of de-recruit them once they get on campus, and they have to realize everybody here was recruited like you were. everybody here was a big-time recruit. And once and the ones that figured out quicker, those are the guys that get on the field and have an impact sooner.
Former LSU running back, now TV radio commentator, covers LSU sports, Jacob Hester. Our coverage of the SEC Media Week brought to you in part by B&B Appliance Parts, Dixie Building Supply, and Hydraulics, Ward International Trucks, Assist to Sell, Bayou Fasteners, and Home Hardware Center. So what do you make of LSU today? We talked about this earlier in the show. Can they end that losing streak against Alabama? Are they competitive enough? Are they good enough?
That's always the question, right? And that's the game that everybody circles. But you got to be careful doing that because you've got a game at Texas in Austin. You've got a game against Florida. I mean, you've got big-time matchups against Auburn before you even get to that point. We haven't even mentioned, you know, at Mississippi State, a place they got embarrassed, really, the last time they went there. And it didn't turn out well for them. And so, yeah, you're going to circle that game. You're going to want to talk about that game. But you got to get to that point. And once you get to that point, look, you got to win the game. Eventually, you have to get over that hurdle. You have to be able to be a championship team to beat anybody on your schedule, and that's going to be the game that everybody's judged on. It just is. And I think that's not only LSU, that's the entire SEC West, the SEC as a whole. It's what have you done against Alabama? And that's why you probably, you know, Georgia fans are upset that they've had Alabama on the ropes really last two times they've played them and hadn't been able, you know, to really pull it off there when they've had the better day on those Saturdays. And so it's, look, when you're like Alabama and you've won all these national championships, you're going to be the measuring stick. And LSU, if they want to get back to winning national championships and playing in a college football playoff, that's the game you have to win. And this year, they're changing things up. Look, they're not playing in a phone booth anymore. They're spreading things out on offense. That's not just lip service like it has been for the last decade. That's what they've shown out there in spring football and spring practice, and that's why Joe Brady is no longer with the Saints. He's with LSU as a passing game coordinator. They've got a senior quarterback that they're excited about, and he's got to lead them to the promised land. All the pressure has to be on Joe Burrow, and I think he'll thrive in that.
It seems like since the days you were running the ball at LSU, we've been hearing about the offense was going to be modernized. Do you think now it's just a necessity that that be the case?
I think it is a little bit. I think the fact that they played in a phone booth for so long and were able to get away with it, right? Then you're like, well, why would I go away from it, right? I can play physical. I can play defense. I can win games 14-10. And that phased out of college football. It phased out really about 5 years ago. I mean, you saw Alabama make the switch when Lane Kiffin was hired as the OC. You know, Saban changed the way that he was doing things. And I think Coach O realized that, and that's why he made the change. You started to see a little bit of what he wanted to do at the end of last year when Joe Burrow against A&M, against Georgia, against Central Florida in the bowl game, he was running the football more, and that's what he wants. He wants to run the football with the quarterback. He wants to spread it out and get the ball out of Joe's hands. And that's what they're going to have to do, I think, this year. You have to spread it out. You have to create mismatches. You've got to win in space. You can no longer play in that phone booth that LSU had a lot of success doing, but you just can't do it anymore.
Former LSU running back Jacob Hester. Jacob, compare or contrast how Nick Saban would get you ready for the Alabama game versus Les Miles.
Well, it's funny. So when I was in school, we beat Alabama all four times, and they were good. They had some good football teams. One year we went to Tuscaloosa when Shula was the coach, and they were number five in the country. We were number seven, and we ended up winning in overtime. But for me and my time at LSU, it was Florida. Florida was the matchup you had to get ready for. Florida week was the week that you knew, look, it was the height of Tebow time. Chris Leak, the end of his career as well. They were going to be good. We book in national championships, them in 06, us in 07, them in 08, right? And so it was some really good football. And you knew that week was different. And I always appreciated that Nick, or if it was Coach Miles, they didn't try to act like that week was the same, right? Oh, it's the same. Next game up, next game on the schedule. I hate that because it's not. It's Florida versus LSU. It's a rival. It's East versus West. You play every single year. Make that game gigantic if you can, because as a player, I knew when that game came, I had to be on my best. I had to be at an all-time high, and that's what it was for the Florida game. Coach Saban, look, he threw some I'll never forget this. We're about to play Florida. They lost in 03 to Florida the year they won the national championship, only game they lost. And we come in on Monday morning. We're about to play Florida. And he just goes off. He's like, you know what? Spurrier called me the day after we won the national championship. He told me congratulations, does all this stuff, and said, but you still can't beat the Florida Gators. And so, like, that game meant something to Coach Saban. And then, obviously, we go to Florida. We beat him there when Zook was the coach. And then the next year, Miles comes in. He realizes what that game means as well, and he kind of just picked it up. And every year you knew what that game meant. And I appreciated both those guys for saying, hey, this game's different. This is bad blood. This game means something a little bit extra. And I always appreciate that because a lot of coaches would run from it, and they never did that.
want to ask you, so you played at LSU. You know LSU inside out from the time, even before you played there. Mm-hmm. If I was a recruit and I was thinking about going to LSU or a bunch of other places, what's different about playing at LSU?
Especially from Louisiana, I think that kind of just tells itself. If you're from Louisiana, you're talking about a group that's going to take care of you forever. Because, look, and no disrespect to all the other schools that play football in Louisiana, they've got some great institutions, Louisiana Tech and Tulane, and we can go on to Northwestern State and all those. But, look, Texas has Texas A&M and Texas. Mississippi has Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Alabama obviously has Alabama, Auburn. Florida's got Miami, Florida, Florida State. Georgia's got Georgia Tech. In Louisiana, you're it. You're the top dog. When you're playing on Saturdays, that becomes the third largest city, right? Just inside Tiger Stadium becomes the third largest city in the state. So it means so much to go to LSU. Look, I'm a guy, I haven't played at LSU in well over 10 years and still have the opportunity to do a lot of cool stuff.